and WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Alexis Christophorus. Hurricane Idalia made landfall on the Big Bend section of Florida as a Category 3 hurricane, downgraded now to a Category 1, but still packing a rainy punch. ABC News meteorologist Rob Marciano is in Tampa.
We're along the causeway. This may very well be shut down later today. We're nowhere near high tide, and obviously with this wind not changing direction, it will continue to pump this water up. And downtown Tampa is no better. Bayshore Boulevard, that's flooding right now, too.
ABC's Mireya Villarreal is in Gainesville, inland from where Idalia made landfall, where they are bracing.
We are still expected on the back end of this storm to receive about 75-mile-per-hour wind gusts at times. And so the biggest concern right now for people living in this area, local leaders, is this big wind that starts to come through and the possibility of isolated tornadoes in this area.
The hurricane affecting air traffic in the region, over 900 flights canceled. This is ABC News. New strikes from both Russia and Ukraine. Russian officials say Ukraine sent attack drones into the western part of the country overnight, hitting an airport. Russia responding with a barrage aimed at Kyiv, killing at least two people. Down to the wreckage of the Titanic.
Organizing an expedition to recover items of historical interest from the sunken ocean liner, RMS Titanic Inc., a Georgia-based company. It was granted salvage rights to the wreckage by a federal judge in Virginia. It exhibits the artifacts. The U.S. government is trying to stop it, citing a federal law and an international agreement that treat the shipwreck as a hallowed gravesite. RMS Titanic can salvage the wreck, but does not own it. The court would have to rule on ownership of each item recovered. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Chemical giant 3M has agreed to pay a $6 billion settlement over faulty earplugs. They were sold to the military and used by service members who say they suffered hearing loss, even while using them. Alexis Christophorus, ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin could soon have a new official state butterfly. A bill proposed by Wisconsin Representative Paul Tittle and Senator Rachel Cabral-Guevara would make the monarch butterfly the official Wisconsin state butterfly. They say the bill would acknowledge the monarch butterfly's importance to the state's agricultural economy, the state itself, and the country as a whole. Representative Tittle and Senator Cabral-Guevara are currently seeking co-sponsors for the bill. The uncertain future of funding for Wisconsin's Office of School Safety has left many worried that a 24/7 anonymous tip line will cease to exist in 2024. The tip line has been used for things as small as students vaping in schools or as large as harassment, bullying, and self-harm concerns. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call says they're looking for state investment to keep the Office of School Safety running, but legislators don't seem to want to make that investment. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Experience the magic. Joy Engine presents Nightlife, Friday and Saturday, September 8th and 9th, from 5 until 10:30 p.m. The dazzling live spectacle brings 4D projection mapping technology to Milwaukee's iconic historic Mitchell neighborhood. A multi-story building at 710 West Historic Mitchell Street will serve as the mesmerizing backdrop for the show. Nightlife will feature a fashion show, a variety of local vendors, dance performances, and music. After sundown, the event will set the grounds alight with an amazing motion graphic show. Families with children will have plenty of options to indulge in memory-making activities throughout the festival's run, including a life-size light bright wall and a hands-on multilingual exhibit presented by PNC Bank. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event, Nightlight, presented by Joy Engine, where art comes to life. Log on joyengine.org/nightlight. That's joyengine.org/nightlight.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Innovative.
Innovative?
Innovative. Whatever. You can say it both ways. I don't allow them to compliment me back because I can't take a compliment.
I like your beard.
Shut up. I'm leaving right now.
Guess what day it is? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry. We got Greg Bach on the board. And a couple weeks ago now, I think it was earlier in August, we'll say, I came across this headline. Wisconsin preschoolers are 5 times more likely to be expelled than K through 12 students. And when you think of little baby children being expelled, it's kind of a weird thing to wrap your head around. And so I wanted to reach out to the reporters of the story, Natalie Eilbert and Madison Lammer, to come on the show and talk about what they found, because it was a fascinating story. But I also think that the consequences of having kids be expelled this early and digging into that with them as well was important. So Natalie Eilbert, welcome back to the show. She is a mental health reporter for USA Today Network, Central Wisconsin. And Madison Lammert is a Report for America Corps member based in Appleton Post Crescent. She covers childcare and early education across the state. And I'm so excited to talk to this about you. Who found the story too that you guys ended up working on this together?
That be you, Maddie.
Yeah, I think it was just something that I heard about somewhat relatively quickly when I started covering this topic of early childhood education. And it just really surprised me because I never thought of little children as being expelled.
Yeah, that would have been my assumption, too, is that little kids are little kids. But it also makes sense as far as a already tight stressed childcare system having the bandwidth to deal with a variety of behaviors. And so I guess as you start to dig into this, what is behind that stat as far as five times more likely? Like where did you start to dig into this?
Well, I think we kind of, yeah, that was exactly it. We thought, well, why is this happening? And that's really where we started. So we talked to, I know Natalie and I think it was back in January, right? Natalie, we had our first interview with some of the providers that actually brought it to my attention and, you know, just kind of started following the little breadcrumbs from there. So, yeah, I think it comes down to, feel free to jump in if I'm forgetting anything, but I think it really comes down to that workforce being stressed, the fact that kids, when they're this little, they don't really have like a protected right to education, if that makes sense. Because they don't have to mandatorily be in school until they're 6 years old in Wisconsin. So there's really no like legal recourse or anything when you expel a kid that young. And then just the fact, you know, children are so tiny and they don't know how to channel their emotions yet. So that comes out in behavior. And then when you put the pandemic on top of it, that just really, it's a perfect storm.
And just going into that a little more, on the behavioral health side, you know, little babies haven't yet figured out emotional regulation yet. You know, that only really comes with some skill sets. During the pandemic, when kids would be upset, a lot of times parents were working from home and they would just like hand them a screen and say, deal with this, I need to get to work. So kids learned to self-regulate by like moving little symbols on a glowing screen. When they were then moved to a physical childcare facility, there was no screen. And so they were left to their devices, which, you know, their tools were very, very anemic. And then teachers don't have behavioral health training formally. You know, a lot of early childhood education teachers have basic training for taking care of kids, but they don't have behavioral health training necessarily. Some do, but a lot do not go through rigorous training of how to kind of build up those relationships and tools to help help emotionally dysregulated kids get back to calm.
And so, because what was interesting is one of the stats that you listed in the art, you both listed in the article, was that even back in 2005, a nationwide study found that children in state-funded pre-kindergarten programs were 3 times more likely to be expelled than students in K-12 schools. And so this isn't necessarily a new, the disproportion between pre-kindergarten and preschool expulsions and K-12 is not necessarily new, but it has accelerated because of COVID. Is that a fair way to frame it?
There's actually not data on that yet. Okay. I know one of the main researcher, we should say, behind all this, Dr. Walter Gilliam, he is currently working on that, I believe. And I believe, Natalie, didn't he say it would come out in the fall? I don't want to get it wrong. But
yeah, I don't know.
Work on it more in the fall.
Yeah, I don't know if he's completing the research by then or if it's publishing in the fall, but there is work to collect all of that data, and it is quite athletic to collect data from across all these different schools, child care centers across the country.
And so when it comes to the kids who this is affecting the most, I feel like there was two different things I picked up on from the article. There is students who are, you know, potentially on the autism scale, actually are diagnosed with some kind of developmental delay. And then there's also, unfortunately, Black boys, this is also disproportionately affecting. And so do you see an overlap there? Are those two kind of distinct groups and different reasons why these are kind of the groups that are getting, it's so weird to say expelled. Like, that feels like such a harsh word when we're talking about like 3 to 5 year olds, but expelled.
Maddie, do you want to take the reason behind the Black boys? I feel like you've got a really good handle on that.
Sure. Well, yeah. It's kind of just like not surprising, right? Because this is how the world works, unfortunately. But when looking into it, we found that they were expelled basically at disproportionately high rates compared to their population. And then there were like 2 subcategories within that. There was the gender category, and then there was the category of Black children being expelled more frequently. So if you're a young Black if you're a young Black boy, your chances aren't looking too great, right? So, but some of the reasoning behind that is something Dr. Gilliam kind of looked into on, like, could this possibly be because of implicit bias? And he found You know, it's hard to concretely say yes or no, but he found evidence suggesting it was. Hmm. So basically, around 2016, they did an eye tracking study, and they basically set up like four different frames, four different children, I should say, in a room playing. And they said, you know, indicate when a sign of challenging behaviors might come up. And so basically they found that the early care educators that they were having participate in the study said, you know, we do feel like we need to watch boys more frequently. But with the eye tracking technology they use, they found they actually watch black boys in particularly more.
Oh, wow.
Indicating that they were more likely. I mean, if you watch a child more closely, you're more likely to see a quote unquote problem with their behavior. Mm-hmm. So it's like expecting these children, these particular children, are going to misbehave. And then, you know, it's like, well, if you expect them to misbehave, you know, you're more likely to catch them doing so.
Mm-hmm. And the thing about that study, I'm so sorry to interrupt, yeah, but the thing about that study is it was four children who are professional actors. And, you know, there were two boys, one white, one black, two girls, one white, one black. And none, they were explicitly told to behave well. So they were not behaving poorly at all. They were behaving on their best. And yet eye tracking was just watching for those bad behaviors in the black boys. So that's one thing. And then the other thing about the question of neurodiverse children, mm-hmm, that is, I mean, it's so upsetting because, you know, there's something like less than, you know, they make up less than a quarter of attendance at these schools, and yet they're expelled at like 60% of the time. And a lot of that, you know, again, it comes down to training. Like, how do you work with kids who don't have those neurotypical developmental stages? The impulse is, unfortunately, to remove those kids from the classroom. And what study after study finds is that removing kids from classrooms who are disruptive actually impacts them in vastly negative ways. They don't get to learn from their classmates. Their classmates don't get to learn from them. Mm-hmm. Their classmates get messages like these are kids that
need to be removed.
Need to be removed. Mm-hmm. And so on either end, you get these learn biases about what a kid represents, and that kid internalizes, you know, that they're bad or that they're different in a bad way. So, you know, the thing that we just kept coming back to is segregating kids, if they're bad, is the worst thing you can do because those are the kids who need it the most. They need integration the most and they need care the most.
We're talking to Natalie Eilbert and Madison Lambert, who are both reporters for USA Today Network, based out of central Wisconsin and Appleton Post Crescent, about their story about Wisconsin preschoolers are five times more likely to be expelled than K-12 students. When we come back from the break, I want to talk a little bit more about the ramifications of this reality, both for the students themselves as they age through schooling, for the families that then have to find childcare again or drop out of the workforce, and also in your reporting, did you find any solutions and any hope, optimism, etc., because we always like to at least end on a high note. So we'll get to all of that when we come back. Stick around for more As Goes Wisconsin.
Coming along.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. High temperatures reach up to 74 this afternoon under mainly sunny skies, southeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies again tonight. Lows dip down to about 51. Daytime highs approaching 78 tomorrow. Mainly sunny skies and calm. Mainly sunny skies and calm Friday, with daytime highs approaching 86. 90 Saturday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 66.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
To As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board, and we are talking to Natalie Eilbert, who is a mental health reporter for USA Today Network Central Wisconsin, and Madison Lambert, who is a Report for America Corps member based in at the Appleton Post Crescent. And we're talking about their story that was published earlier this month about preschoolers and how much more they are being expelled than K through 12 students. And so the big reason I think it was we discussed of why this can happen is not dissimilar to why I think last month we heard that disabled students at a higher rate can get expelled from private schools, even though private schools are taking vouchers, is that like there is a different set of rules for these some of these institutions as far as daycare and pre-K that don't have to keep you in school as much. Is that is a fair way to kind of sum it up of why this is happening? Why this can happen more at younger ages?
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect. Straightforward. Yes, that is it. and so, what I got from the article is that this then sets up almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy for the kids that it's happening to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Correct. So, something that's in, the impact section of this piece is, internalization is a hell of a drug. It's when a kid internalizes the idea that they're bad, they act out. The impact is that their studies are worse off. Like they have 10 times, they're 10 times, if a kid is expelled in preschool, they're 10 times likelier to be expelled in high school. Yeah, 8 times likelier to end up in a correctional facility of some kind, junior or adult. So, and I think, Maddie, you can talk a little bit more about those repercussions. But a lot of this, we didn't really talk about why kids are expelled. And the number one reason, at least in Wisconsin, is aggressive behavior. That's, biting, hitting, temper tantrums. These are very normal things that 3 to 5 year olds do, but a lot of times parents don't want their kids being bit and hit and struck by other kiddos, which makes sense. It puts the teacher in a really uncomfortable and precarious situation.
Well, and it also sounds like there's not really an option once this happens to a family. I mean, we've talked about it tons on this show. Maddie, I obviously know that this is something that you cover extensively as far as our childcare shortage and already families struggling to be on waiting lists and get into childcare. But the added pressure then if you have a child who's been kicked out of a childcare, daycare, pre-K school, what even options are? Is there any other option for you then? Or are you just like forced out of the workforce?
Yeah, we talked to one person who had about a week once she saw the notification that her child was being expelled to find alternate care. I think a lot of people, and I think this is just something I see in my reporting across the board, we are.
I think we have Maddie, are you frozen or are you coming back?
Oh,
there we
go. Frozen?
We got you. Frozen. We got you back.
Oh, I don't know. How much of that tangent did you hear?
Start over.
Okay. I think to answer your question of what do families do, I think they, they're scrambling to find care. And, ultimately it might mean changing around their job, picking up different shifts. I know a lot of them rely on friends and family, but the sad part of it is, these kids, like Natalie had said, are the ones that need that consistent, reliable care the most. Mm-hmm. And so you're taking them out of their environment. They're being expelled, right? And then they're having to be thrust into a new environment, whatever it is. And that is change is hard on us adults. Imagine what it's like for a child, especially when you're being told you are getting kicked out of school because you're bad. And then it's just all of this reporting kind of wraps into one big giant ball of like depressingness.
So fun. Well, let's we have about 2 minutes left. So to not end on the depressingness, you both are still working on, it hasn't come out yet, but as far as some of the solutions and how this problem could be approached. And so what are some of the things you can tease us with until the actual article comes out?
Yeah, you go.
I think the cool thing about it is we found solutions on, a lot of this work is preventative that we're finding, which is really interesting. And we find it on kind of like a broad scale of like just social emotional learning curriculums that a lot of places are using to teach kids those basic regulatory skills so that hopefully they don't get to the points where they are so dysregulated that they become aggressive and then they feel the need to expel them. And then we see a number of programs that are kind of taking it into their own hands and making their own supports for these families, which is also really neat. And then there are some statewide efforts as well that we'll be covering.
Something that I think just concretely is, we've kind of thought about this as, providers as like detectives trying to figure out what's leading to this. So if a kid is like angry at 10 a.m., well, what's their morning routine? Are they getting breakfast? Mm-hmm. If you can just shift your schedule 15 minutes, maybe they won't become hangry. And so there's like simple solutions, and then there's more complex solutions if kids have trauma in their background. And that's something we're definitely going to get into. Like, how can a therapist work with a family to get those supports in place?
Absolutely. All right. Well, unfortunately, we have to let you go, but I'm looking forward to your further reporting on this. Natalie Eilbert is a mental health reporter for USA Today Network, Central Wisconsin. And Natalie.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Mike DeBusky. One death so far from Hurricane Idalia, a passenger in a car that hit a tree north of Tampa. The storm made landfall as a Category 3 in Florida's Big Bend region. Now it's a Cat 1.
Tallahassee is covered in trees, and when Idalia makes her way through here, she is going to bring some of these trees down with near hurricane force winds topping 70 miles an hour. Power outages are going to be a real problem here. Statewide, 130,000 customers are already without power. That number is climbing here in Leon County.
It's ABC's Victor Akendo. Idalia will continue to weaken over northern Florida before heading into Georgia and the Carolinas. Some 900 flights are canceled from Tampa to Orlando to Atlanta. Today's sentencing hearing for Proud Boys leader Enrique Tarrio for his role in the January 6th Capitol riot has been rescheduled for next Tuesday. Prosecutors are seeking 33 years for seditious conspiracy. This is ABC News.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A lawsuit could end the practice of ballot spoiling in Wisconsin, which allows an absentee voter to request a new ballot on or before Election Day to vote again and fix mistakes in the original. Typically, ballot spoiling occurs if somebody makes a mistake on their ballot or a candidate drops out of the race after the ballot has already been submitted. Lawyers for the plaintiff argue a voter should not be able to cancel a ballot after it's been filed. A proposed bill in Wisconsin could allow zoos to escape state oversight if their operations earn accreditation from the Zoological Association of America. Currently, Wisconsin zoos can earn the exemption accreditation from the American Zoo and Aquarium Association. Animal rights activists have argued the AZA's standards are far superior to the ZAA, and that group has been trying to convince legislatures around the country to exempt its members from government oversight. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Jerry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
To As Goes Wisconsin, I am Kristen Bry. He is Greg Bach. And would you pay more to sit away from kids on a plane? 844-967-2789. There's already so many different upcharges when you fly. Do you want more leg room? There'll be an extra $75. Do you want a carry-on bag? Depending on the airline, that will be an extra $75. Do you want a checker bag? That will be another $100, please. Would you like, you know, you used to actually, I saw something yesterday of like an old school training video for flight attendants. And the acting was actually really good. They were having some tiff. And I was like, what is happening here? But there was like an actual wooden salad bowl in the back, like in the flight attendant station for this training video. Like they were like literally tossing a salad to be able to serve to passengers. And so it's like flying used to be different. And now it is, at least in commercial, is not as great, but it's not luxury. But for travelers who want to avoid babies and kids, one airline will test an adults only section. And I am wondering, how much would you be willing to pay to know that for sure you would not be bothered by a crying baby or a demonic child for your flight? 844-967-2789. What do you think, Greg?
I feel like if flying was still an affordable thing to do, I'd pay a little bit more and treat myself. But I feel like just the basic flying nowadays is so expensive that I'd be like, I can't afford to not have a child kicking the back of my chair.
Yeah, you're like, well, I'm just happy to be on here.
Exactly. Like as soon as you were saying all those different add-ons, my first thought goes to like a sketch saying, you have a ticket. It's like, would you like to actually fly in the plane today? That'll be a $75 upcharge. But I have a ticket. Oh, I know, but you have to pay extra if you actually want to get on the plane. Yeah, that's a bonus. Yeah, if it was an affordable thing, totally, I would treat myself. If it was, but it's so expensive now, I can't afford it.
I know.
If I was rich, I'd have my own plane.
So I guess in the hypothetical that you could afford it, I guess that's hard to say. How much would you pay? Like, would it be like $75? Like, what is it worth to you to be able to? And how long does the flight be? Because I feel like on a 2-hour flight, like a crying baby on a 2-hour flight, like I can suck it up. A crying baby on like a flight to Europe is a harder pill to swallow.
I have much more tolerance for a crying baby because I know the baby can't control it. The mom can't, the dad can't control it. So I just put my earbuds in, I go to sleep, or I just try to ignore it. But here's the question, Kristen. You can go ahead and give me a good flight without the children. Can you guarantee that the adults won't be idiots? How much do I have to pay to be on a cool people's flight?
Well, did you have anyone? Because I know Jane was worried about that when she was ahead of her flight. Because she went on a Jane is on vacation, but she's out, and so she was worried about having to fly with idiots. And I was like, well, you haven't flown that much. I was like, in the flights that I've taken since COVID, when like those stories make national news of some sphincter being a sphincter
burn
on the airlines, I've had that maybe once where there was a fight on the plane, and it wasn't even a physical fight, it was just yelling. Did you, when you flew recently, was everyone well behaved?
Everyone was well behaved because they canceled the flight, so we were all kind of in it together. And you know, like, we didn't fly anywhere. We were on the plane for 40 minutes. They brought us right back, and we were all just equally mad at the airline. So I've never had a problem with the people. When I flew to England once, and there was, and this is, I think this is where it comes from, my attitude towards babies. There was a woman, she had a baby. The baby was just screaming and crying. And the woman next to her kind of gave her a look of like, are you going to do something about, like of annoyance. And I'll never forget this. The way the woman just turned around, looked down at this woman, because she was standing up with her child. She looked down at her as if to say, what on earth do you expect me to do with this right now? Like, do you think I like this? Do you think I want this? And you're going to give me attitude? And I was like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to be cool from now on. I've never seen a fight, but that was the coolest thing I've ever seen on a flight, period. That was amazing. Shout out to that woman and her baby who's now like 12.
So the question is, we would love to hear from you. Would you pay more to sit away from babies and kids on an airline, on a flight? And if so, how much is it worth to you? Because Crendon Airlines says that it will sell an adult-only zone, no one under 16, on flights between Amsterdam and Curaçao, which is where I went for my honeymoon, which is a very popular flight. There's a lot of Dutch people in Curaçao, starting in November. So the Turkish carrier says people traveling without children will get quiet surroundings and parents won't have to worry that their crying or fidgeting kids will annoy fellow passengers. I think that's as much of an advantage for the parents who feel guilty about their kids' behavior, like to keep them also separate from people who may be a jerk about it. But the airline announced last week that it will set aside 93 regular seats and 9 extra legroom seats in the adult zone in the front of its Airbus A350 jets, which will have 432 seats in all. A wall or curtain will separate the section from the wailing masses farther back. So I guess my question is, would you pay to be part of that, part of the group that is on either side? Because I think also there's like an advantage if you knew that you were flying on an air like a plane with your kids, and there were certain flights where, like, would that make a difference? If you know that there was a certain flight where, like, you're like, oh, we're in the kids section. That's fine. We can accept that. We don't worry about, because I'm already thinking about that. Like the first time that we take our kid on a plane, like, do you be the family that like brings the little notes and like the little, like, I've seen these like ideas go viral before of like you make little like Ziploc baggy packages for the people sitting around you being like, I'm so sorry, this is her first flight, like, please be understanding and like get ahead of it. And so I'm already thinking about that. But yeah, so would you pay more to sit away from kids on an air flight or maybe even in restaurants? I don't know. 844-967-2789. We're gonna go to the phones.
Cindy from Appleton, what's up?
Well, you probably won't like me, but I'm thinking, why should people that don't have kids get penalized? The ones that are bringing the kids on board that are making all the noise and creating the nuisance, why aren't they the ones being penalized?
Well, are they already being penalized? I mean, I guess they're already paying for an extra 1 to 2 tickets, right? As far as how, I guess if they're sitting in your lap, you don't have to pay for a ticket for them. But is it penalized or is it a... having a feature of, it's like, is it seen as extra leg room?
Well, if you have to pay a fee for something, that's being penalized as far as I'm concerned. It's just like when you go to a hotel with a group and you're a single person and the double people with the double room get a whole lot cheaper room than the single person does. Why is that? I use less water, I use less towels, I use less everything, and I get penalized for being a single person. It's the same thing. If you're going to bring a kid on board, then you should have to pay extra if your kid gets out of hand.
So, that's an interesting. So you think when you book a hotel room, you should be charged not only for the room itself, but how many people are staying in the room?
Well, no, that's how it is. You know, it seems like the more people in the room, the less it costs, and the less people in the room, the more expensive it is. That makes no sense to me because, like I said, I use less water. I don't flush the toilet as much. I don't use as many towels, but yet I pay double what most people do that are, you know, like paying for a double room, and there's two of them, and I just don't understand that. So to me, it's like, you know, make the playing field more equal.
All right. Good. So you think they should be the opposite, that you have to pay extra to even bring your kids on the plane?
Yep.
That's an interesting. Do you have kids, Cindy?
Nope.
Thanks. Thanks so much
now
for the call. And there you go. You sound like Jane a little bit. Thanks so much for the call, Cindy. We got Price from Texas. Next.
Before we do that, Karina called in and left a message. She said she would pay. She'd sooner pay to sit away from children than she would for baggage any day of the week.
She'd rather pay to not have to sit next to a kid than have to pay for baggage.
Yep.
All right. There you go.
So yeah, we got Price from Texas. Price, what say you?
I guess I'm opposite. I don't mind. The older I get, the more I like little kids. I guess it's because I'm an older parent and that just took me a while to get more used to it. But if I sit next to a little kid, that helps me get sometimes if they're a little, you know, active and they're looking at stuff, I'll mug at the kid and I'll make faces and smile and talk to the mom and stuff. And I don't mind because just like the ladies before were saying, kids don't have executive function. It's a new thing for a lot of times. Yeah. And you don't know what the parent's going through. I have a friend who is literally escaping an abusive marriage and she had to take her two or three, I can't remember, kids on a plane, and the kids were fussing. One of them barfed all over a lady next to her. And she was just in tears, and she couldn't handle it. And the lady next to her, she said, was an absolute angel. So I think you don't know what other people are going through with that. And I would honestly sit next to a fussy kid rather than, like, be involved in one of these TikTok videos where, like, the church people just start singing hymns or the 50s all start singing on the airplane. If that happens when I'm on a plane, I might go to jail.
Or even worse, you could sit next to someone who claps when the plane lands.
It's an achievement, Kristen. It's an achievement.
I agree with you, Price. But I also really like kids.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the thing. It's like, I have patience and understanding, I think, for when a kid is crying or acting out, and I feel bad for the parent. And I also like engaging with kids. And not everyone, obviously Cindy, doesn't like doing that. But I think that gets at the heart of the question is, like, would you pick an airline that gave this option of having an adult section? And I think there's clearly some people who would say yes.
Oh, of course.
When I used to not have kids, maybe, you know, before, because I remember being in my 20s, be like, oh, shut that kid up. And now that I'm older, I'm just like, let that kid sit on my lap. I'll play with that kid while you take a nap. Yeah. You know, I just like, I've mellowed a lot when it comes to kids, and I've gotten way worse when it comes to adults. So
thanks so much for the call, Price. That is funny. I'm just who do you have more tolerance for, annoying adults or children who have not learned how to regulate themselves yet?
And that's the thing too, is I actually, like, I didn't want to be a Debbie Downer, but, like, I feel the same way as Price does. I love being around kids on the plane. Like, when I flew to Toronto a couple weeks ago, there was a little girl in front of me, and we just kept making faces, and she would hide in her mama's arms and bring her face out, and we'd make faces, and she'd laugh. And then as soon as the plane took off, she just passed out the whole flight.
Yeah. It was funny because when we were – the last time we flew, I was – there was two kids that were around 2 years old on the plane. One was a little girl. One was a little boy. And the little girl was just an angel the entire time, and the little boy was just – a little boy. He had little boy energy. And we got off the flight, and Mike was like, I'm so happy we're having a girl. He was like, she was so well behaved. And I was like, you know, that's no guarantee that our little girl's not going to have a lot of energy. But some of the texts that we were getting on the line, which I appreciate this one from the 312. Wow, tossing a passenger salad. Now that's service.
Hey-o, come on. I wasn't going to read that one. My goodness.
If you don't know what that means, you'll have to look it up.
Chris Rock, bring the pain.
612. They already have Comfort Plus, which is largely kid-free. So that's the thing. It's like, I think, well, sometimes I see kids in first class. But yeah, I would say, especially when you think about a family buying multiple tickets, the sections that you're already paying more to sit in typically have less kids in them already. But
I just want more leg room, please.
You just want more leg room?
Yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're really packing in there these days. I think they've actually, like, proven that the incremental space with newer and newer airplanes. Like, the space itself that you get is getting smaller. But, all right, well, we're going to go to a break. If you have thoughts on this, feel free to text in 844-967-2789. Would you pay more to sit away from kids? And also, if you have any merch ideas, we'll read them after the break. And we'll talk about what's coming up at Laughing Tap this weekend. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Experience the magic. Joy Engine presents Nightlife, Friday and Saturday, September 8th and 9th, from 5 until 10:30 p.m. The dazzling live spectacle brings 4D projection mapping technology to Milwaukee's iconic historic Mitchell neighborhood. A multi-story building at 710 West Historic Mitchell Street will serve as the mesmerizing backdrop for the show. Nightlife will feature a fashion show, a variety of local vendors, dance performances, and music. After sundown, the event will set the grounds alight with an amazing motion graphic show. Families with children will have plenty of options to indulge in memory-making activities throughout the festival's run.
including a life-size light bright wall and a hands-on multilingual exhibit presented by PNC Bank. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event, Nightlight, presented by Joy Engine, where art comes to life. Log on joyengine.org/nightlight. That's joyengine.org/NIT light. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Here's your updated forecast. Lots of sunshine this afternoon with highs around 74. Southeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies and quiet again tonight. Lows dip down to about 51. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow. Highs level off around 78. Dry with temperatures well above average Friday and Saturday, and highs from the mid 80s to the upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 67.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. He is Greg Bach. And just to wrap up our conversation around, would you pay more to sit away from kids on an airplane? We got a couple texts on the text line from WAUK from the 262. I don't have kids and I don't mind them at all. If they're crying on a flight, I try to help out the parents. Similar camp as us. From the 608. You got to tell hubby little girls are usually a bit more sassy when they're older and a bit more naughty when they're older than boys are, not even the younger. I'm a grandma now and I see the difference, and I would like to sit with kids so it wouldn't matter with me. I'd rather help someone out, but when I was younger, I would have paid probably an extra $100. That's something.
Yeah. I mean, I totally help too, but people look at me and they're like, no, thank you. I'll hold your child.
Oh, really?
I got big arms. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a burden of being a big bearded dude. Like, when you look and smile at kids, I've had parents like divert.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're so cuddly, though.
They don't know, but they don't know that. They do not know that. Yeah. I understand that.
And one more from the 715. So much more tolerance. So, this is all caps. So much more tolerance for children than horrible adults. Cindy should have to pay extra for her ticket and give everyone headphones. That's mean. So hey. We don't have to hear. Yeah.
Cindy's allowed her opinion.
Cindy's totally allowed her opinion. So I feel like it's a mixed bag. But I think that's why this could work, because there's going to be some people who don't care and are totally fine and actually would, you know, find some joy be engaging with children on an airplane. And there's some people who are like, no, absolutely. I will pay $75 to $175 to not have to deal with that, especially probably the longer the flight.
I think if it was an overnight flight, I'd pay a little more so I could sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing against the kids. Nothing against
the
kids.
Just self-preservation.
Papa Bear gotta get his snoozers.
Can you sleep on planes?
No. I can sleep if it's a long flight. Like if I'm flying like to Los Angeles, I have to take like something, like a half a melatonin.
Okay.
Because I'm also very cognizant of the fact that I snore sometimes or all the times, and I don't want to be that guy. So,
do you sleep all? Have you been tested for sleep apnea?
Long time ago, and then I lost a bunch of weight, and they're like, oh, you're fine now. And then I gained a bunch of weight, and they're like, okay.
You may not have it.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I'm paranoid about keeping people up.
So you're understanding and you're thoughtful.
And very tired.
And that. All right. Well, thank you for weighing in on that topic. Before we run out of time for the show, let's talk about who's at the Laughing Tap this weekend, Greg.
The Laughing Tap. A tap is of laughsters happening this weekend at the Comedy Club. Amy Miller is going to be there Friday and Saturday. Three shows. One Friday, two Saturday. Tickets are available at laughingtap.com. She's amazing. She's been on Comedy Central multiple times. Absolutely wonderful comedian, up and coming. People, like, I had never heard of her, and people are coming up to me saying, I can't believe you have Amy Miller. I'm like, me too. So we're really excited to have her. And I just want to say this too. The entire month of September is yam-packed. It's
yam-packed.
It's Smucker's yam-packed. And by the way, Orville Redenbacher was born in Brazil, Indiana.
Oh, there's a Brazil, Indiana.
There is indeed.
Didn't know that.
And so, yeah, we got tons of shows. We got some one-nighters too. Jane's Adomian next Thursday. Unfortunately, the Barron's Brothers comedy show.
Already sold out.
Sold out in 8 hours.
Oh, my God.
We put it on sale at noon the Friday after the show, and by 8 o'clock that night, the tickets were gone. So... and that's going to be the last one for quite a while. Charlie's going on tour.
Oh,
so
yeah. What is it? The old fashioned tour?
Yeah. Yeah. So, but we got tons of great shows coming up. And then of course in October, the Comedy Festival, October the 1st through the 8th, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a really good time. Got great headliners like Kelly Ryan. We got Kyle Kinane, Todd Barry, Dave Stone. I mean, it's just, the comedy is happening.
The comedy is happening. And then also, I mean, right around the corner after that, we're, what, 6 weeks out from the Milwaukee Comedy Fest?
That's what I just said.
Oh, yeah.
Hi.
Hi. I'm still reading some of the texts that are coming in from this. Do you have a clip?
No, I do not have a clip. I was not able to chop up a clip in time because she swears.
She swears a lot.
She swears enough to her, so like, it took a little bit longer, and I'm still... You know, but yeah, maybe, you know, I'll tell you what, I'll have a clip for tomorrow.
Okay.
We'll play a clip tomorrow.
We'll play a clip tomorrow.
But yeah, it's going to be great. And yes, the Comedy Festival is October the 1st through the 8th. Shows every day, multiple shows on some days. MKEComedyFest.com for those tickets. Those tickets are going, by the way. People are buying them up. But if you want to go see Amy this weekend, LaughingTap.com. She is incredibly funny and wonderful. Do we have more text messages?
We had a couple as far as one specifically from Lynn from Econimowoc, who got to go to... Who had the Brewers tickets.
Yeah, Lynn.
And she got to sit in front of Dom and Steph, Dom from Devil's Advocates.
Nice.
And so she got to introduce herself to both Dom and his lovely wife, Stephanie, and she sent a picture. So we always, if you ever get to win Brewers tickets from us or any other like tickets from us, we love to see pictures of you there. We loved, if you ever see us in person, we love to like talk to you.
Yeah.
I had that experience last week on Fish Fry. I had someone come up and like she just left me like a little note, and then she kind of like scuttled off. I was like, oh no, like let's talk. Let's actually like, I would love to know your name. And so yeah, whenever you, I mean, I would say, I think I can speak for most civic media hosts that if you ever see us in public, none of us bite.
None of us bite.
Maybe Todd Alba.
Jane may bite.
Jane may bite.
I've had people mainly from at the club come in and say like, I love listening to you guys on the show, and that means the world to me.
Mm-hmm.
That one, they are patronizing the club, and two, they're listening to the show and they take the time to say hello. And
yeah.
Had people from at the brewery say the same thing. So
yeah. So I would say never be, at least for me, never be shy about coming up and saying hi when you see me, if you see me in person, because it's a one-way thing a lot of times as far as being on the radio and be like, is this thing on? And making sure people are out there listening. But one reminder, tonight is the super blue moon.
Ooh.
It's the second super moon in a single month. We talked to Bob Bonnendorf, the planetarium director from Milwaukee Public Museum, about this earlier this month. But the last time a super blue moon appeared was in 2018. The next time won't be until 2037. So the best time to view the super moon in all its glory is at moonrise. We'll put some we'll put a link in the show notes to see when that is where you live. But Saturn may also be visible above the moon. So look into the sky tonight. Enjoy that beautiful full moon.
I'm not
the super blue
make
moon.
The joke.
But it will also not be blue. Just okay. It's not going to be a blue moon. Not to be confused with blue moon ice cream.
You know what? This show is a lie.
And that's it. That's our show today. Yeah, we're going to be back tomorrow. Public service announcement. Paul Noonan. Lots of fun stuff. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just.
Down he goes.
Won't.
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday, September 2nd. It's the Badgers and Buffalo Bulls in Madison. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
WLAK, 1260 AM, Lake Air Emory.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic Media app.